Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Week 2 of new contract bargaining between SAG-AFTRA and the Alliance of TV and Film Producers is underway. Are we close to a strike any agreement or not? You gotta wonder. We'll explore what's up or not next. Also ahead, The Crown's Last Run, Norfolk's 2023 Fest, our classic trivia question, and a trio of game shows worth reviving from the 1960s. Something I'd like to see. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you by Pure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. 60 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, bright and sunny skies, although on the cool side. And on this Columbus Day, or National Indigenous Peoples Day 2023, we welcome you on this Monday afternoon to the program all about TV's current and future. And we want to hear from you, whether we're talking about the SAG-AFTRA situation, or Something I'd Like to See, or anything else about the world of television. We want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number you use is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We've got our chat room going as well, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And don't forget, while the promo is on the air, you can connect and interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. And yes, at the end of the program, I will have a thought or two about what has taken place over the last 72 hours in Israel. That will be at the end of the program. But right now, let's do news notes. One more season to go for The Crown, Netflix's prize-winning depiction of royal family upbringing in England. Earlier today, Netflix disclosed how that season will unfold. Episodes of season 6, opening with events between 1997 and 2005, will premiere on November 16th. The final 6 episodes see the Netflix light of day December 14th. Going to season 6, The Crown has won 21 Emmy Awards out of 69 nominations and 4 Golden Globe Awards from 10 nominations. Long Island's annual television festival, known as Norfolk, which we have covered over the years, will be back, just later and shorter than usual. The festival is set to happen November 18th at Borghese Vineyard, reduced from 2 or 3 days to just 1 day. 3 series pilots will be screened, Mount Mystic Rangers, Awesome, and Who's Annie. Norfolk 2023 will begin with a special brunch presentation of Paramount's Frasier Revival. That revival, by the way, begins on Paramount Plus this Friday, followed by an interview with executive producer Tom Russo. Breaking news, the full-length Monk movie with Tony Shalhoub reprising his Emmy-winning role will premiere on Peacock December 8th. Former Monk cast members Taylor Howard, Melona Hardin, Jason Gray Stanford, and Ted Levine will rejoin Shalhoub for Mr. Monk's Last Case, with a script by series creator Andy Breckman and directed by Randy Zist. Now quickies, soccer superstar Lionel Messi is the inspiration for Messi and the Giants, a Noon Tune series put together by Sony Pictures Television. Odd Squad writer Guy Tobis will be the lead scripter. More than 2.6 million people watched Telemundo's Billboard Latin Music Awards presentation last Thursday. Peacock will present more than 30 Big Ten conference games, men's basketball games, I should say, and 20 women's matchups this 2023-24 season, starting November 6th. Noah Eagle, currently doing the Big 10 football games on NBC, Doc Collinsworth, and Terry Gannon will handle play-by-play on the men's games, with Zora Stevenson, Cindy Brunson, and Sloan Martin handling the women's contest. More college basketball Big 10 conference news. Former ESPN analyst Alfonso Ellis, one of the top ESPN on-air personalities laid off this summer, has joined Big 10 Network's B-ball roster. And here's one more sports TV tidbit. The National Women's Soccer League will soon, according to several reports, announce a new multi-year deal that has games running on Prime Video or Amazon Freevee, PN, and Scripps' ION Network, along with CBS. We checked NSWSL's website early this afternoon. No word yet on that deal. We will keep you posted. And we may have more for you on Sports Newswire, which we expect will come your way Thursday, when I join Craig and crew on Sports Grid Network. That's 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific. And that is news notes for today. In a moment, the situation with SAG and AFTRA and AMPTP and why things are where they are. And I think it's a little on the crazy side. We'll get to that after we get this message from Cure. Do you ever wonder what makes you feel fatigued or tired at times? Try dehydration. is the leading cause of headaches, brain fog, and muscle weakness. Now, luckily, there's a way to bounce back, and that way is Cure. It's a clean, tasty, effective way to stay hydrated and operate at your best. Cure's instant drink packets mixed with water contains a balance of electrolytes and glucose, while free of artificial flavors, sweeteners, and preservatives. Cure is all natural and perfect to deploy on the go at work or at home. Try Cure today and feel the difference for yourself. Use the promo code TELEVISED for 20% off your order. That's promo code TELEVISED, TELEVISED. And for more details, go to curehydration.com. And now, our opening comment, dealing with what has just started in the last hour or so. And that is the resumption of talks on a new contract between the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA, that's the main actors union, and the AMPTP, that's the Alliance of TV and Motion Picture Producers. As you know, this is the only entertainment union that is still on strike following contracts that AMPTP has made over the last 5 months, first with the Directors Guild of America, and then 2 weeks ago with the Writers Guild. And their contract, by the way, is still in the ratification process, and so far it is looking good. The negotiations resumed with SAG-AFTRA a week ago today, and they have been crazy, and that's not saying enough. Why? Well, because unlike the Writers Guild talks, which went 4 days straight and then 2 more days to finalize the deal, get the legalese down, and so forth, contract talks that included four of the major honchos of media. We're talking Bob Iger, the head of Walt Disney, Donna Langley, the new content chief of NBC Universal, David Zaslav, the head of Warner Bros. Discovery, and Netflix co-chief executive Ted Sarandos. They stayed at the bargaining table and made the deal happen. What is SAG-AFTRA and AMPTP been doing? Well, it's been last Monday, deal-making. Tuesday, day off. Wednesday, deal-making. Thursday, deal off. Friday, deal-making. And then this weekend, no deal-making. It's like SAG-AFTRA is taking a holiday every other day. And now it comes to where we are right now, the latest round of bargaining. And it makes you wonder if SAG-AFTRA has lost its ever cotton-picking mind to make a deal. Where is the urgency? And from what we hear about this deal-making, that progress has been made on the major issues that SAG-AFTRA has been blaring about for the last 5 months, along with the Writers Guild, the situation with residuals, how you create a residual system for mega content services like Netflix and Prime Video and Max and Apple TV Plus and so on, as well as artificial intelligence. And it makes the behavior of SAG-AFTRA absolutely positively, and I don't use this word a lot, moronic. If progress is being made, why don't you stay at the table? What is this with taking every other day or this past weekend off? Is this how you want a deal? And what does this say to AMPTP and the same four heavy hitters of media, Iger, Zaslav, Langley, and Sarandos, all of whom have also been at the table of these SAG-AFTRA negotiations on AMPTP's behalf? What does it say to them, and what does it say to your membership, that you can't stay at the bargaining table beyond a day up to this point? Do you want a deal or not? Especially if progress is being made. It just boggles your mind. And what's also been amazing is that since Friday, there has not been a single report on the progress of these talks, especially the negotiations Friday, by any of the major entertainment news websites. The Hollywood Reporter, Variety, The Wrap, Deadline Hollywood Daily, etc. Not only that, but there's been no reporting whatsoever about this whole every other day or this past weekend you're not talking. Nobody's bringing up the subject. I seem to be the only one doing it. You just wonder, how urgent does SAG-AFTRA want this deal? And do they understand that they are the only union that is preventing scripted television from resuming production and getting thousands of people who have been off the job since May back in business. The directors are back in business. The writers are back in business. However, the production crews, the film editors, the cinematographers, the makeup and hair people, the set designers, the art directors, the music composers, they're not in business creating scripted TV. Why? Because right now, SAG and AFTRA are not with a deal. And it seems they're taking their own sweet time about it. I want to be very clear about this. This is the management of SAG-AFTRA, the negotiators of SAG-AFTRA, not the full union. And speaking of the union, why is membership not saying anything? Is anybody at membership angry about this? Again, you wonder about it. You just wonder about this behavior that is going on with these organizations. What the heck is happening here? You also come to the conclusion that if SAG and AFTRA, if we hear the reports right from last week, had stayed at the table the way the Writers Guild did, we would have a deal by now. We would have an agreement by now. And in all likelihood, the actors would be back acting, which I would think they would want to do. For whatever television projects they are already involved with or will be involved with. Let's be very clear here. Again, must be said, the only thing that is now prevent, the only wall, the only barrier that is now presenting scripted television from being produced is this strike. Can we get a deal here? Are we close to a strike and agreement or not? I think we are. The reports I'm hearing say yes. And the only barrier to that is this whole day-in, day-off deal. Well, it's time for SAG-AFTRA to put up or shut up when it comes to the urgency to make a deal. If you really care about making a deal, you stay at the table. You don't move. And you negotiate every day from now on until you make a deal or until the talks break off. And maybe, just maybe, if you make a deal with these media heads sitting right with you, we can get this done. I think by the end of this week, we could have that deal. And what it's going to take is more fortitude and more insistence by SAG membership to the SAG leadership to say, make the deal. If we are on the right track with this union, AMPTP, make the deal. We want to get back to work. We want the rest of the entertainment industry back to work. We think we've made the case. We think we're going to do what the writers got with residuals, with artificial intelligence, et cetera, framework. Let's work with it. And it's very clear that this on-again, off-again ambiance of talking isn't working. It is not getting a deal done. What is going to get a deal done is everybody staying at the table, everybody working together, and nobody moving until a deal gets made. That's how the directors did their thing. That's how the writers did their thing and got their contract. And now it is time for SAG and AFTRA to do the same thing. And if they can't do it, then be brave enough, be authentic enough, be honest enough to tell us why you're doing this one day in, one day out. What is the rationale here? Again, if you're making progress, why wouldn't you want to stay at the table? We are talking about four wasted days out of the last seven, which could have been used to great effect to make a deal by now. Last Tuesday, last Thursday, and the last 48 hours. We could have had that deal, and it is time to make it. So what say you, SAG-AFTRA? And what say you, AMPTP? Let's have what is going on today right now be the start of the home stretch of making this deal and getting everybody back to work. In case you, and just to make sure you understand, SAG-AFTRA, we're talking about thousands of people. We're talking about 7,000 people who didn't have jobs last month. And at least something like 20,000 before that. So remember, SAG-AFTRA, it's not about you anymore. It is about the rest of the entertainment industry. They are watching what you are doing very carefully because they want to get back to work, and your union is the only union that is preventing that. And by the way, the Hollywood producers are saying that if this deal gets made, peak TV is not going down the drain. We are going to see more production. That's the way it's looking. Remember, a lot of shows that would have gone on the air because they got renewals weren't because of the strikes. Very simply, time to hit the home stretch. And that home stretch starts now. I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, we got the chat room going, SimonApple04 by name. So let's hear from you. I want to hear what you think about this whole situation and where we go from here. This is the first of three episodes we are doing on Tomorrow We Televise this week. Coming your way on Thursday, the second of our three, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, we've got a wonderful hour in store for you. Postponed from last week, we will have Philip Lomax. He is the Executive Vice President of Media Science. That is the behavioral science organization that's doing a lot of wonderful work about how we watch and use television now and how we could down the road. He will be our lead guest. And then we're going to introduce you to the founder of an interesting organization called the Casting Collective. And his name is Logan Clark. He's also an executive producer on some unscripted television shows. And what the Casting Collective does is that they cast contestants, both celebrities and non-celebrities alike, for shows like American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. His latest assignment is for a new series premiering in a couple of weeks on Hulu from Scout Productions, The Queer Eye for the Straight Guy and Queer Eye People. And it's sort of the gay and lesbian alternative to Ghost Hunters. And I hear it's really good. So Logan Clark will be with us along with Philip Lomax of Media Science. That's all this Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And we'll also have another episode for you on Friday. And along the way, we'll have a preview of Advertising Week 2023, big four-day event here in New York, specifically Midtown Manhattan near Madison Square Garden, Penn Station. The expectation is 12,000 to 15,000 people will be there. We will do a preview of Ad Week New York on either our Thursday or Friday episode. And I promise you this, we are going to get a good picture, a good snapshot of how fast interactive television and interactive advertising is going to reach you, the viewer. A lot of interesting panels are going to be happening, including panels by Kelly, including a conversation on opening day next Monday with Ilya Posen, the co-founder of Pluto TV, one of the major multi-channel bundles. That's the dual screen TV set you get for free. 500,000 people are on a way of getting it, and they don't pay a thing for it. They do have to give information about themselves, dealing with privacy issues, of course, and the information on the lower screen will be personalized information, interactive ads, all sorts of interesting apps, as well as apps on the picture side of the screen, including video chat and the ability to play a whole bunch of games with their voice remote, maybe a joystick as well, but not having to use a console like PlayStation or Xbox. And the new head of one of the key people at Netflix's advertising is going to be on Tuesday. There'll be a lot happening. There'll be panels put together by LG. Roku is going to be on a panel or two. Samsung will be on a set of panels. It's going to be very interesting to see how the smart TV set, smart TV device unit is people are going to be in play at Ad Week New York. It goes from next Thursday, October 16th to 19th. You can go to AdWeek, AdWeek.com for all the details. I should point out there's going to be some very interesting panels dealing with sports on television, and we'll cover that for Sports Newswire, which we will do the following Wednesday. That's October 18th. And a whole lot of other things will be popping, too. AMC Network's got a bunch of panels. Twitch is going to do a panel. Amazon's going to do a panel. Vizio, the smart TV set, has a very interesting breakfast coming out. We expect some news out of that and a whole lot more. So more details about Adweek New York and what we expect from it coming up later this week here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And I'm happy to say that now that the writer's strike is settled, we're going to try to get executive producers and showrunners of various shows coming your way, hopefully starting later this week and in a big way next week here on the program. Because of Adweek, incidentally, we will not be on next Monday. We will be on next Thursday and Friday. So this week, today, Thursday, Friday, and then next week, Thursday, Friday, no Monday show, and then we're back on the regular schedule the following week. All right? All right. Again, love to hear from you. What do you think about the whole situation with SAG-AFTRA and the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers trying to get that deal so scripted TV can come back in a big way? Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. One other thing I want to say before we wrap up this first half hour is I want to thank all of you who have been listening to our show this past week. We've had some really, really terrific episodes for you. We had on Monday John Quinn, the executive producer of Let's Make a Deal, now up and running with its 15th year, weekday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and Pacific on most CBS stations. They're doing the primetime version again through specials on Friday nights starting next month, including one that will celebrate 60 years of Let's Make a Deal. Yes, it was 60 years ago next month that Let's Make a Deal premiered with Monty Hall as the host on NBC in daytime, later in primetime. Also, we had Eric Baer, the creator and star of Belonging, the interesting live-action animation project using very interesting techniques, some computer-generated. That series premiered last week on Apple TV, the set-top box, not Apple TV+. And Dr. Celicia Thompson and Jerome Trammell, the executive producers of In the Black Network's first original series, one of theirs, that's Crown, with Vivek A. Fox among the panelists. And then on Thursday, we have the executive producer of Sullivan's Crossing and Virgin River on Netflix, Rummel Roth. Sullivan's Crossing, happy to say, got off to a good start Wednesday night on the CW. And we're very happy to have Roma on in an Internet Radio exclusive. And I'm happy to say that show, that episode, got a very good feedback in terms of replays. And then on Friday, we wrapped up last week with Nzinga Blake, who is Zynga Blake, that's the executive producer of the new Our America special that is launched Saturday and Sunday on ABC stations in San Francisco and Los Angeles in prime time. That was on Saturday night. Then yesterday afternoon on ABC 7, Channel 7 here in New York, WABC, WLS in Chicago. And tonight we'll be premiering on Localish. That is the smart TV set device bundle channel composed of material put together by the ABC-owned television stations, eight of them around the country. The episode is called Our America Unforgettable. Blake was the executive producer. It deals with the growing issue of Latino citizens dealing with Alzheimer's disease. Either they are, or people they know are, or people in their families. It is a very heartbreaking and situation, and there is some reason to believe that progress is being made to develop treatments for Alzheimer's. And so if you missed the special on your local ABC station or local website, it is running on Hulu at Hulu.com. It is also running on Localish starting tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific Time. And it will be running on Localish again a week from tonight. I highly recommend the special. I've seen clips of it, and it is really, really great. And once again, I want to remind you that on the program on Friday, in addition to interviewing Zynga Blake, we also announced the special toll-free line that you can use 24/7 if you or someone you know is dealing with Alzheimer's. So listen to the show, take down the information, also take down the website of the Alzheimer's Association. They're doing marvelous work to come up with treatments and alternative treatments too to Alzheimer's and giving people the latest information about where we stand with this this condition, where millions of people are now having it. And they are determined that no one down the road has to pass away because of this condition that robs people of their livelihood in a very slow and very tragic way. So, again, thank you to Zynga Blake for doing the special. Thank you to the ABC owned television stations for putting on the ongoing On Our America series. Again, if you haven't seen the special, whether you are in New York, San Francisco, L.A., and Chicago, you can see it tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific time on Localish. That is the ABC-owned television station's channel, available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. It's also available on Hulu. It is also still running in those markets I mentioned. It is also running on the smart TV service, whether it's an all-news channel or what else that that station programs, whether it's on smart TV sets and devices or on their website. And this weekend, four other ABC stations are going to play the show in different markets. I believe Raleigh-Durham in North Carolina, other stations as well, will do it. All right, so do check it out. It's a really important special, and there'll be more Our America specials coming through in the future. Again, if you want to catch up on that episode, as well as all of our episodes last week or recently, very simple. We make it wonderfully easy for you. Go to our website, smartbtelevised.com. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or go to any one of our 40-plus great podcast affiliates like the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, Acast, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, AUDACY, Fathom, Luminary, so many more, and the Zencastr Creator Network as well. And by the way, the Zencastr Creator Network, we are getting great feedback on our replays. Some of our replays have picked up already 10 to 15 listens at least on that site. So thank you, Zencastr Creator Network, for all you're doing to promote our program. We really appreciate you, and we appreciate all the people that are listening to us there. All right? This is Smart We Televised. We are here on this Columbus Day, 2023, also National Ingenious Peoples Day as well. Whatever you are celebrating today, we hope you are making it as great as possible. We have the Columbus Day Parade. I believe it's still going on here in Manhattan. And Channel 7 WABC-TV is running the parade live. They'll probably have highlights on their website as well as they'll probably do a special as well or have the parade coverage on replay on their smart TV service. All right. Again, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call. Anything you like about the world of television, the number is 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up for our next half hour, we have our classic trivia question of the week, and we have our regular feature, A Show to Know, where this time out, we're going to highlight three television game shows that did their thing in the 1960s, and unlike many others, has not been revived. Maybe it's time. And those three are Play Your Hunch, Seven Keys, and Video Village. I grew up watching those shows, and I'll tell you why they're worth reviving in this decade, somewhere, somehow. All of that, and yes, we'll have a thought or two about the situation in Israel. That all coming your way after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 90 million viewers around, or listeners, I should say, 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. VCR gives you some true crime with their new series, Spotlight for Justice. It happens today at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's Spotlight for Justice, VCR's new true crime series. Today, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, the best of VCR always comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. YouTube now more and more being seen on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles, as well as its own bundle, YouTube Live, the new home of NFL Sunday Ticket. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Columbus Day 2023, also National Ingenious People's Day. This half hour is brought to you by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. Simon Apple, I'm with you along for the ride. Good to have you with us wherever you are across the country, around the globe. Thank you for tuning us in to the program about TV's current and future. 65 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Let's hear from you. Give us a call on anything you like in the world of TV. The number we use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, speaker or tune in radio. And don't forget, our chat room is all in business and it's ready for you. It's Simon Apple 04. That's the name of the room. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the room, use the phone. Either way, we get you involved and interactive with us. And while the program is on the air, you can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon, the Blog Talk Radio speaker tune screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. Start of our second week, we're offering the question. Again, we have four prizes in store. And all you got to do is, if you know the answer, you email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you are first with your answer, here are the prize you can win. That Uber card provided by AMC Networks. Two wonderful classic CDs. We have Lifetime Women in Rock, which was released as part of their former series, Intimate Portrait. It's got great hit tunes by the likes of Cyndi Lauper, Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics, Linda Ronstadt, Laura Branigan, Bananarama, Lyta Ford, The Pretenders, Pat Benatar, and many more. And we've got the Chicago Greatest Hit CD with such tunes as Feeling Stronger Every Day, 25 and 6 to 4, I've Been Searching So Long, Baby What a Big Surprise, and many other terrific tunes. And from Jeff Melvoin, the wonderful Emmy-winning producer and writer of Northern Exposure and other great shows, he was on our show last month. He is the author of a terrific best-selling book. It is doing very well on Amazon and other top book lists. It's called Running the Show, Television from the Inside. Great book. You will win all of that if you know the answer to this question. Name the dog star on the TV series from the 1950s, Topper, T-O-P-P-E-R. Name the dog star of the 1950s Topper television series. Now, Topper was the series based on the famous movie with Cary Grant. It's the movie, it's the TV series about a duo, a married duo of ghosts, George and Marion Kirby, played by Ann Jeffries, and her husband at the time, Robert Sterling, who wander into the life of the erudite Cosmo Topper, played by Leo G. Cowell. Yes, the guy that played Waverly on The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Wonderful character actor, was terrific in a lot of movies and other TV shows. And it is a terrific, terrific program. A lot of fun. And there was a dog on the show. We want to know the name of the dog on the program. You can catch episodes of Topper on YouTube, some of them with the original commercials, incidentally. So do check it out, and let's see if you can get the answer. Again, the question, name the dog star on the 1950s Topper television series. It ran for 2 years. I believe it was on CBS. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, when you email, must enclose your name and where you're emailing from so that if we have you as the winner, you get the prizes mailed as soon as possible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. One more time, the question, name the dog star on the 1950s Topper television series. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's your entry to win. So get in the game today. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So make it happen today, soon, and all the very best. When we come back, we'll have our regular feature, Something I'd Like to See, 1960s game shows that deserve a revival this day and age. But first, we have a message from the great people at one of our newest sponsors, the online grocery, Sun and Swell. Now, in case you don't know about this organization, Sun and Swell is the first online grocery store with a great fine line of healthy and great-tasting foods that come to you in plastic-free, combustible packaging. Every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients. We're talking things like trail mix, rolled oats, apple rings, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chips, love banana chips, nuts, mango slices. And by the way, they are getting more and more five-star reviews. In fact, more than 1,000 as we speak. Again, every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients. So if you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, shop Sun and Swell and get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunandswellfoods.com and use the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. That's 20% off your entire order when you use the promo code TELEVISED, T-E-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, at sunandswellfoods.com. That's sunandswellfoods.com. They offer a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime, anywhere. Now time for a regular feature we do on this program. It's called Something I'd Like to See. It's sort of my little rant on something I'd like to see television do somehow and some way. So here we go, and I'd like to get your feedback on it. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. If you hear this program often enough, you probably come to the conclusion that I am a game show fanatic. I grew up on game shows. Growing up as a toddler, I would watch all sorts of shows. I'd watch Concentration. I'd watch Jeopardy. I'd watch Word for World, the Who Won or Where game, To Tell the Truth, I've Got a Secret. You know, if there was a game show, chances are, Camouflage, if there was a game show, I would watch it. And along the way, in the early 1960s, there were three games that I loved a lot. I would be anonymous whenever I could when I was in school. And I'd like to share those three because unlike Jeopardy or Family Feud or To Tell the Truth, these are three game shows that have never, while they had good runs, have never been revived on television since. And I think all three of these games deserve a revival. The first one is a game show that ran on all three major networks when it was on. First CBS, then ABC, and then NBC. It's Play Your Hunch. It's a Mark Goodson, Bill Tomman production, Mark Goodson, Bill Tomman being the gold standard of game show producers and game show productions. Play Your Hunch started in 1958 on CBS. In 1959, went to ABC, daytime, and then, before the year was out, NBC, where it ran until 1963. Along the way, Play Your Hunch had two primetime runs on NBC, one in 1960, the other 2 years later. It was hosted for the most part by Merv Griffin. It was his major TV claim to fame. It was his wonderful job on Play Your Hunch that got him a talk show gig with NBC for half a season, and then later, the syndicated talk show, which really propelled his career on the air. When he left the show, Gene Rayburn was the host for about 2 months, and then in the final months, Robert Q. Lewis, the popular variety show host and game show host, also did his thing on Play Your Hunch. Play Your Hunch was a very simple game and yet very versatile. Here's how it worked. You had two duos, two teams, two people on each team to be husband, wife, mother, daughter, father, son, etc., and they were posed with a problem. The problem always had three possible answers, X, Y, Z. And it was the job of the team that played the problem to determine what was the correct answer, X, Y, or Z. If they got the answer right, they scored a point. If not, the other team had the chance to score the point. 3 points won a game. You would win $100, and then you would have the opportunity to keep on playing and face new challenges. As long as you won, you kept on playing. That was it. What made Play Your Hunch fun was the incredible range of problems. Almost anything, whether educational, silly, funny, could be up for being a problem. For example, one moment, you could have a band come on the stage, as Merv Griffin did, and he would ask, which one of these people in this band is not actually playing his instrument? Is it Mr. X, Mr. Y, or Mr. Z? In another stunt, or another problem, he would have three people at the top of the show imitate jobs. And he would ask one of the two couples, which of these actually has the job they are miming or imitating? Again, X, Y, or Z. The problems were limitless. And some of them, by the way, involved celebrities. For example, you know the comedian Jonathan Winters? On one primetime episode, the contestants were asked to pick which one of three women was Jonathan Winters' wife. X, Y, Z. So you could go all sorts of ways and have a lot of fun and be very educational, too, with Play Your Hunch. It was all about simple, playing your hunch. I think this show would work beautifully. You could do it as a half-hour show. You could raise the prize money, make it like $1,000 for winning, and maybe do a bonus game with a more complicated X, Y, Z problem. It's a great show. It's fun. Entertaining all the way. You could have celebrities on. If you do it primetime, do have celebrities on. It would be a lot of fun. I think Play Your Hunch could work in this post-millennial decade. I think it'd be really, really great. So play your hunch. You can see, and by the way, all the game shows, the three game shows we're talking about, you can see episodes on YouTube. Unfortunately, you can't see a lot of them on Play Your Hunch because NBC wiped most of the tapes. But you can catch, I think, four or five episodes with Merv Griffin, both the daytime and the primetime run. And there is an audio that was discovered about a year or two ago of one of the Robert Q. Lewis episodes late in the run. So check out Play Your Hunch. I think you'll find a lot of fun. Second is one that I would watch on ABC either in the morning, late morning, or in the afternoon. It's Seven Keys. It may be one of the most unique game shows in TV history in the 1960s. It ran from 1960 to 1965. But it originally started as a local primetime game on KTLA in Los Angeles. ABC saw the game, loved it, and its host Jack Nahrs, and decided, let's bring it on daytime, which they did. It ran for 3 years in daytime television, and then in the middle of 1964, they canceled it. KTL picked up again, and it ran and finished its run in early 1965. You know the game Chutes and Ladders, the board game Chutes and Ladders? Well, Seven Keys was sort of the TV equivalent of Chutes and Ladders. You had a 70-step game board from bottom to top, and the whole idea of the game was you had solo contestants that had to play 15 chances to get from the bottom of the board on the left, up in the lower left-hand corner to the top of the board on the upper right-hand corner, 70 steps. They would punch in a wheel that would show the steps that it would move forward from 1 to 10. And every time they land on the step, something would happen. In some cases, they would land on a question step. They would know what the category is in the question. They would have to answer the question in some unique way. If they did, they kept going and forward. If they landed on a safe spot or safety spot, they would have no penalty. They also could land on a penalty spot. If that was the case, they would have to go backward. And again, they'd have to press a button with a separate wheel that would show 1 to 10. The number of spaces you had to go, that's how well you went. There was also bonus squares or bonus steps, where if you land on them, you would, without taking away you would get an extra chance, if you will. And you would do it. You would again spin another wheel, third wheel, and you would determine how many steps you move forward. Now, of course, the object of the game, of each game, is to get to the top, the 70th step. And that means you get a key. You could win up to seven keys. You're playing for a special prize that was put together especially for you. Now, in addition, there were six other prizes that were up for grabs. So the key, each key you won would match the lock of one of those prizes, including the big prize that would be displayed in the center of the stage. Now, here's the thing. You had a choice to make at the end of every game, which is either take the key or keys you've won and stop playing and see what prizes you won. Whatever prizes you won, you won. Or you could keep going and see if you could get as many as the title of the show, Seven Keys. That means you would be guaranteed winning the six small prizes and the big prize put together especially for you. The catch is that if you kept playing and you lost, you would lose all the keys you had won up to that point. So what made Seven Keys wonderful was that game board, which was displayed on one wall of the stage. It was great, lighted up every time. And it was fun to see the contestants and how good they were on getting up from the bottom to the top of the board, a la Chutes and Ladders. And also, that whole situation of do you keep on playing and risk losing your keys, or do you keep on going and you get the keys? Or do you stop and, you know, take the prize you've won and hope that the key or keys you've gotten gets that big prize you are aiming for all along? Jack Nahrs does a great job, by the way, hosting the show. The contestants are terrific. And something else that made this show very special and different from any other game on the air is that every day they had a home viewer contest where every week they would offer a special prize that, again, was put in its own door and lock. It could be, for example, a mink stole and $1,000 in spending money, or it could be a trip to London or Paris or Hawaii or something. Again, there'd be other prizes like housewares, appliances, you know, fashion, jewelry, et cetera, et cetera. And it would work the same way, except rather than go up a game board, you would have to send in a postcard with the number of the key you wanted, or the number of the lock you want unlocked with a key, with that key that corresponds to that lock, from 1 to 7. And they would draw a card every day and see what you won. Of course, if your lock and key connected, you won the big prize. If not, you won a separate spot. You won a consolation prize of some kind. And that made the show work. So the show was very interactive in terms of both having contestants in the studio and you at home playing along. And Jack Nahr hosted it beautifully. It also had that great opening theme done to Everything's Coming Up Roses from the Broadway musical Gypsy. Seven Keys was a terrific show, and it's a show that has a lot of flavor to it. It's fun to see. The prizes are marvelous. In fact, some of the prizes were some of the best prizes on any television game show of its era. And you have to wonder, why couldn't they do it? Why couldn't this be revived? I think ABC should go ahead and revive it. You could have a computer-generated game board or a board like the one that's now on Loteria Loca on CBS, which is on, by the way, tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. You certainly have good contestants. You could do the show for an hour or a half hour. And again, you could have that home viewer contest. This would be really, really outstanding. Seven Keys is a game show that is just waiting to be revived. I think it would work very well. You could do computer-generated game boards, contestants of all shapes and sizes, that home viewer contest you could do every episode. It would be great as a daily show. It could be great as a nightly, as a once-a-week, or maybe twice-a-week show, as Deal and Deal was in its prime. It works. And again, you can see episodes of Seven Keys, videos of both the KTLA run and the ABC run, and you can also see some audio of at least one or two of the ABC episodes on YouTube. I think this is a winner. I really do. This is a winner that definitely deserves to be up there. And our third game show is one that I would watch regularly, both on weekday mornings and on Saturday mornings, and that's Video Village. This is the game that Monty Hall got his big start in before he did Let's Make a Deal. Video Village would be described as a human board game. You had two people playing. People they brought in with them would be rolling a one die with 1 to 6 on it. There were three rows of board spaces. One row, second row, and the third called the magic mile. I'll explain why in a moment. And what would happen is the contestants in turn would roll, and you would move that many spaces. There were some spaces that you could get money on automatically. There were some that you had to do stunts of some sort, mental or physical. And then there was the space where if you land on it, you went in that first row, you went to jail, and you could only get out if you correctly predicted whether the next row would be an odd number or an even number. The third row, once you got across a bridge between rows 2 and 3, is what they call the magic mile, where they had 6 stores. Each store had a prize. If you landed on the space, you collected a tag, and you would get that prize. Even if you lost the game, you would get the prize. The first person that completed the third mile, the third board, the magic mile exactly, won the game, continued on to meet new challengers. If you lost the game and you did match, you get something on the magic mile, you still won that prize. So it was really great. Monty Hall was wonderful. He was assisted by Joanne Copeland, later Eileen Barton. Kenny Williams, the wonderful announcer, played the semi-MC, and he was terrific. Video Village originally started as a primetime show hosted by Jack Nahr. Jack, for some reason, despite the fact it was popular, decided he couldn't do it anymore because he was he was in Los Angeles at the time. He had to go to New York to do it. Could not do it. Then Red Row took over for a couple of episodes, both daytime and primetime, and then Monty Hall took over. In 1961, CBS decided to do a children's version of it called Video Village Junior or Kiddio Village, and that ran for a season. In fact, the daytime Video Village ran 501 episodes before it was canceled, and they had an extra Kiddio Village episode that Saturday. Really something. The game works great. It's fun to see. The human board could be done again. You could do some computer-generated effects on the board. You can make the money a lot more, like, let's say, $500, $1,000, something like that. Obviously, you'd have really good prize on the Magic Mile. And you can do a lot of fun things with the show. The format is just waiting to be revived. And again, you can see episodes on YouTube. Monty Hall was wonderful. Joanne Copeland, by the way, they would have a song that they would sing after the The contestants would go into this cart, and then going back to the beginning of the game board, they would sing this nice little tune at the end of the game to make the contestants feel great. And it was always a lot of fun. Video Village was created by Merrill Heater and Robert Quigley, who later that decade in the 60s created a little thing called the Hollywood Squares, one of the most revived game shows. And no matter what revival you watch, it's always fun to see. Probably the great celebrity tic-tac-toe game, the perennial tic-tac-toe game. Anyway, Merrill Heater and Robert Quigley would create other great game shows, Hollywood Squares, High Rollers, Gambit. At one point, they were one of the top game show producers around. Merrill Heater, by the way, is still alive. He did Catch-21, which was the revival of Gambit, you might say. And he's still developing game shows. And he's still around. And maybe one of these days we'll interview him. He is a really, really special person. So anyway, there you have it. Three wonderful game shows, Play Your Hunch, Seven Keys, Video Village, all with episodes on YouTube and all worthy of a revival. And let's hope that somebody in TV land picks them up and does the revival. I could see Game Show Network doing it. I could see CBS, NBC, ABC doing it. I could see Netflix maybe trying it out. I think Video Village would be a great, or Seven Keys would be a great Netflix show, particularly with an interactive element. And Player Hunch, anybody's game. Could be a lot of fun. So, and let me know what you think. Is there a game show that you would like to see revived? Let me know. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, you can also find me on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or X. That's LinkedIn and Facebook at Simon Applebaum, and Twitter or X at UBC Simon TWT. That's Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWT. And that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. I want to thank you for tuning in. We will have guests on our next show on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Our guests at that time will be from Media Science, the behavioral science television outlet, Executive Vice President Philip Lomax, and then the founder of the Casting Collective, casting agent, executive producer, Logan Clark. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out our website. You'll find our episodes at tomorrowbetelevised.com, tomorrowbetelevised.com. And all of our wonderful podcast affiliates, whether it's iHeartRadio, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Zencaster, Luminary, etc., you'll find our episodes replayed there for your pleasure 24/7. As always, we want to hear from you. What do you think about our program today? What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't include your name and your address. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. One more time, the question. Name the dog star of the 1950s Topper TV series. And you can find me on social media, LinkedIn and Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you respond to me, I respond back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Websites are provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. Guitar Spakus is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. And by Cure, the instant drink mix that naturally boosts your ability to live to the max. And now a final thought on a personal note. Although we do a program about the world of television, sometimes it would be irresponsible if we didn't take note of the fact that, in this case, that over the weekend, a horrendous war broke out in Israel, a war that was started by terrorist group Hamas, unprovoked, that killed hundreds of Jewish citizens in Israel. And as we speak, that war is still going on. As of 2:30, the latest count is that more than 1,200 people, mostly Jewish people, lost their lives. Some are calling what is happening Israel's 9/11. Some are calling it the biggest atrocity, the biggest slaughter of Jewish citizens since World War II, specifically the Holocaust. Two closing points. First, the coverage of this reaching us to the United States and maybe those of you around the world listening to us has been unbelievable. And everybody has done as magnificent, as objective a job as you could do under the circumstances, whether it is Holly Williams and her crew at CBS, Richard Engel and his crew at NBC, Ian Pinnell at ABC, Trey Yeast at Fox News Channel, Clarissa Ward at CNN, who earlier today, in case you haven't heard, had to run for her life with her crew when her position was attacked or close by. Everybody has done an incredible job to bring home the horror of this war and its impact on Israel and the world at large to you. And we wish all of them to stay safe, keep doing what they're doing, and do the very best that they can under the horrendous circumstances they are facing. And secondly, no matter where you stand, it is time that this country and this world unequivocally stand up for Israel and pray that this war come to a conclusion as quickly and as bloodless as possible. And whatever the United States has to do to stand behind Israel and have its back, do it. Edward R. Murrow, one of the great first journalists of television's era, once said, "On some stories, there is no other side. This is one of them." But tomorrow we televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. We'll be back on Thursday. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.